This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned earlier today, I conclude my sermon series on 1 Corinthians, a sermon series I began a little over 1 year ago on Sunday, March 8th of 2015. You know, the Lord has taught us so much through the Apostle Paul, whose first letter to the Christians in Corinth is also meant for our years, 2,000 years later. And even though some of the things Paul said to the Christians in Corinth applied specifically to them and their situation, much of what Paul wrote to them is timeless truth from God that still applies to us today. For instance, we've learned how God wants us to be united in the teaching of Christ and not embrace false teaching. We've learned about other things like false gods versus the true God. We've learned about baptism, the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts. We've learned about God's will for our sexual lives, God's will for marriage, God's will for the single life. We've learned about the pastoral office and why God wants only men to serve as pastors. We learned about the resurrection of Christ and how Christ's physical resurrection is the foundation and certain hope for our own future physical resurrections. We learned last week how to be good stewards of the resources God has given us. And there's many more things we learned from God's Word during this sermon series. However, by far the most important thing we learned is the message of Christ crucified. In fact, the whole sermon series was entitled, We Preach Christ Crucified. That was taken from the very early part of 1 Corinthians, where Paul set the theme for the whole letter by saying, We preach Christ crucified, which is the good news that God's own Son willingly suffered and died on the cross in our place of damnation that we might be forgiven and reconciled to God. And my friends, because we have this forgiveness, because we have new life with God through Jesus' death for us, that means we are now His children. And that means we get to grow in the knowledge of the teaching of our risen Lord and Savior. And by that growing in His teaching, He will help us to conform our thoughts and our lives to His loving truth. So with that said, much of today's reading from the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, much of today's reading has to do with specific instructions that Paul is giving the Corinthian Christians about particular individuals. Now, I don't have time in this sermon to give you details about all these people. And so what I'm going to do is focus on these brief words of Paul right in the middle of our reading, where Paul writes, Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. So, how does this apply to us today? Well, first, Paul says that we should be on guard. In other words, we need to be spiritually alert to the fact that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle every day. And boy, the devil likes to distract us Americans from this reality. You see, not only does our sinful nature constantly urge us to rebel against God's word and live as we please, but on top of that, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking to lead us away from God and lead us into sin and false teaching. And so Paul is warning us that we dare not become spiritually apathetic, lest we become easy targets for our own sinful natures and for the devil's deceptions. Secondly, in addition to saying be on guard, Paul says we should stand firm in the faith. So, how can we avoid becoming slaves to the evil desires of our sinful nature? How can we avoid being deceived by the lies of the devil? Paul says we need to stand firm in our faith in Christ. But what does it mean to stand firm in the faith? Well, first of all, this means that we rejoice in the fact that our many sins are forgiven. And they're forgiven because of the suffering and death of God's Son for us in our place of damnation. You see, my friends, no matter how hard we try to be on our guard against the desires of our sinful nature, no matter how hard we try to avoid the temptations of the devil, the fact is we all fall into sins of desire, thought, word, and deed, even though in our new nature we don't want to. My friends, that's why we begin most every service here by confessing our sins. Because in spite of our best efforts to live a repentant, godly life during the week, we all fall far short of perfection, don't we? I know I do. Therefore, standing firm in the faith means, first and foremost, clinging to the forgiveness that we have in Christ, who died for all our sins. In fact, it is the good news of Christ crucified for us that actually helps us to stand firm in God's love and grace when the devil attempts to drive us to despair by reminding us of our many sins and thereby trying to weigh us down with guilt and shame. Therefore, my friends, when you are filled with shame over the sin in your life, and when your heart is filled with fear because you know that you actually deserve nothing but God's wrath, my friends, that's when you need to stand firm in the faith that is centered in Christ crucified for you. In other words, rejoice that you are completely forgiven for Christ's sake. In addition, standing firm in the faith also includes growing in Christian wisdom and maturity. And how do we do that? By hearing and reading and praying God's word on a regular basis. That's, in fact, what Paul is talking about in our second reading from Ephesians. You see, the way we can take our stand against the devil's schemes is by putting on what Paul calls the full armor of God. And when Paul talks about the full armor of God, he is using a figure of speech. He's basically saying that we need to be nurtured and strengthened and protected by the preaching and teaching of God's word on a regular basis. And it's through being nurtured by the preaching and teaching of God's word that we will have the strength to resist the devil's temptations, and we will then be given also the wisdom to refute his lies. Third, Paul says, be men of courage. Now, when Paul says men, he doesn't mean merely males. He's using men in the sense of people, both men and women. So Paul is saying that both Christian men and women should be people of courage. But you know, some people misunderstand what it means to be courageous. Some wrongly think that being courageous means that you have no fear and you have no anxiety. But if that's true, then we wouldn't need courage, would we? You see, having courage means that you do have fear, you do have anxiety, but nevertheless, you are determined to be faithful to God, even though you have fear and anxiety over the sacrifice and the persecution that being faithful to God might result in. So sometimes, doing the right thing can be scary. Sometimes doing the right thing can be very difficult because it may result in people hating you or even hurting you. But God calls us to have courage. Courage in the midst of fear and anxiety, because we know that our sins are forgiven. We know that God loves us. And we know that not even death can separate us from the hope we have in Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Fourth, Paul says, be strong. Now, obviously, we need spiritual strength if we're going to be courageous Christians. But where do we get such strength? Do we find this strength in ourselves? No way. Our strength must come from God, the God who forgives us, the God who loves us, the God who gives us the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life in the face of death itself. This is where our strength comes from. As Paul said in our reading from Ephesians, he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." You see, my friends, only God can give us the strength to live as His people. And that strength comes from the message of Christ crucified for us. Again, that's why we need to get into the habit of regularly attending services and Bible classes and receiving the Lord's Supper and spending time in prayer and meditating on the Scriptures, because this is how God comforts us and this is how God gives us the strength and the wisdom to live as His people. So my friends, when guilt and shame over our many sins saps our spiritual strength, when the temptations and lies of the devil that come at us from every direction saps our spiritual strength, that's when we need to receive strength from the Lord who forgives our many sins and then uses His Word to give us the strength and the wisdom to resist the devil and refute his lies. Finally, Paul says, "Do everything in love." Now, what does Paul mean? Well, he means at least two things. First, do everything in love means that everything we do as Christians flows from God's love for us in Christ, who died in our place of damnation and conquered death for us that we might be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. So our love flows from God's love for us in Christ. Second, do everything in love means that God's love for us moves us to love others. And we love others in various ways, by meeting their physical needs, by showing them kindness and generosity and forgiveness. But the greatest way that we love others is by speaking God's truth to them when we have the opportunity. That's right, the greatest way we love others is by speaking God's truth to them as fellow sinners who need Jesus as much as they do. You see, the reason we speak God's truth to this world is that we know only God's truth can set them free from their sin and the lies of the devil. For example, at the end of today's reading, we may actually be shocked to read these words of Paul. He says, "If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen." Now, in America, where we think warning anybody or telling anybody they're wrong is the worst sin ever, it's hard for us to understand how on the one hand Paul can say, "My love to all of you," but then just before that say, "If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him." It almost shocks us to hear Paul say that. I mean, it doesn't seem very loving to say that people who do not love the Lord are cursed. But on the contrary, my friends, Paul is showing great love by saying this. I mean, think about it. Paul wrote this entire letter of 1 Corinthians to the church in Corinth. Why? Because he found out that many had been led away from Christ into sin and false teaching. So what did Paul do? He wrote this letter and he rebuked them and he corrected them in love so that they would be able to love God once again. How? By repenting of their sin, by agreeing with God that their sin was evil, and then also by agreeing with God that His Son was their only Savior. You know, this reminds me of our first reading from Psalm 31. Listen to this again. "Love the Lord, all His saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud He pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Now, we must be sure that we understand what this psalm is teaching us. First, God's love for us is primary. In 1 John, it says that we love. Why? Because God first loved us. That means God loves those who don't love Him. That's right. God loves even His unbelieving enemies. However, when Paul says that a curse is on those who do not love God, and when Psalm 31 says that the proud God pays back in full, what this means is that those who pridefully reject God and His Word, they cannot receive God's love because they are rejecting Him. So even though God loves everybody and wants to have a relationship with anybody, He cannot have a love relationship with people who are pridefully rejecting Him. Therefore, God curses those who do not love Him. Why? In the hope that they will repent of their sinful pride and long for the mercy and love of God, who joyfully forgives and loves those who long for His forgiveness and love. In other words, to be faithful, to love God, is to repent of the sin that He condemns in your life, and then to trust in His Son as your Savior, and then, by the grace and mercy of God, to submit to His loving will for your life. So to be faithful doesn't mean you never sin. To be faithful means that you agree with God that your sin is horrible. To be faithful means that you trust in His Son for salvation. To be faithful means that you rely on Jesus and His love and mercy for the strength to live a new life. So, when Paul says, if anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him, he's not being hateful. He's actually loving the unbelievers in Corinth enough to let them know that if they continue to reject God, in spite of what Paul has said to them, if they live and die rejecting God and His Word, then they will be under the curse of their sin for all eternity. Paul is warning them before it's too late. You see, my friends, God doesn't want any of us to be under the curse of our sin. In fact, God loved us sinners so much that He damned His own Son in our place that we might be forgiven and live in His love forever. Therefore, my friends, if we end up in hell, it is not because God doesn't love us, but because we refuse to love and trust in the God who sacrificed His Son for us. But here's the good news. If the Holy Spirit has moved you to agree with God that your sins of desire, thought, word, and deed are evil, and that you deserve God's wrath, if the Holy Spirit has made you long for God's mercy and love, then I have good news for you. Paul says to you today, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. In other words, if you are here today, broken, and longing for the mercy and love of God, then the good news I have for you is your sins are forgiven because of Christ crucified for you. God loves you, and through Jesus you have the certain hope of the resurrection and eternal life with the Lord. As we heard in Psalm 31, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And my friends, because of this awesome hope that we have in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Paul says to you today, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Amen.